Just want to share some stuff with you about peace and hearing God, knowing how to listen to the voice of God. You know, many believers don't follow God because they think it's too hard, there's no way to hear Him, and we don't know what's going on, so we're just going to, we just hope for the best in life. But God made a way that we could hear Him, and He actually has given us something that is a great indicator, a great thing to follow. You can turn to Romans chapter 14 if you would. Romans 14, start with verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." What you follow after is so important. I was driving, I was late one time, and can't imagine that, but I was late one time, and I was driving so I'm taking these alternate ways. Now I'm sliding through different places, trying to find my way, and I'm already going out of my way because I'm trying to avoid traffic lights, and so I'm just driving, and I'm getting ready to turn, I'm out of my way, but I know there's a shortcut if I can get to it, and so there I go, I'm about to turn on the shortcut, and this trash truck pulls in front of me. And I'm like, okay, well, they go a little slow, but I guess I can deal with it. I can't get around them. It's a one-lane each-way road, and there's no way to pass them right now. So I start pulling behind him. Little did I realize the worst problem of a trash truck when you're in a convertible with the top down is not the trash truck going slow. That was a ripe trash truck, and it smelled bad. And it was going under some trees, and it was knocking stuff off, and it was flying into the car. And I did not know if they were leaves or trash. All I know is it smelled bad, and I had stuff falling on me because I was following the wrong thing. You got to watch what you follow. You can't always follow after your own desires. You can't always follow after your own whims. You got to follow after God, or you'll be following a trash truck. And it's going to smell, and things are going to fall on you, and you're going to say, what's going on? You've got to follow after God. And he said to follow after peace. Follow after the things which make for peace. Peace. What is peace? In the Old Testament, there's the word shalom. In the New Testament, it's irene in Greek. Both of them mean peace. Interestingly, though, they also have the meaning of safety, being safe, and prosperity. There's all kinds of teaching about, well, you know, people of God should be humble and not have any finances, and I don't believe that at all. I think that, you know, if you follow after finances, then you're following the wrong thing. But I don't think that you shouldn't have finances. It's a good thing to have financial blessings. And the idea of peace has both, but it had safety also. When you're following after peace, you're in a safe place. When you're following after peace, you have safety. When you're following after peace, it says this. The Greek by implication is prosperity. In the Hebrew, it means safe. It figuratively means well, happy, friendly. That's a good thing, too. It's easier to be at peace with people who are friendly than mean people, you know. And abstractly means welfare, health, prosperity, and peace. Yeah, it's really funny, though, because we live in such a world where we feel that there is such a, I guess it's such a hustle-bustle of stuff that we pick and choose what is important, and we kind of make it so I think peace is one of the things that you give up when you don't have time for it. Peace is something that when you've got everything going on, peace is one of those things that you put aside, like, you know, I don't have time to go to the movies, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to that, I don't have time for peace today. And peace gets put on the burner, gets put aside. And it's interesting, God didn't place peace as just a suggestion. God didn't put peace as just one of the possible things that maybe we should have as Christian believers. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:22. It's all twos. 2 Timothy 2:22. 22. We'll see where peace falls in the spirit of things here. It says this, it says, flee also youthful lusts. Now, this is not just talking to youth, okay? So, because some people throw the entire verse away, flee also youthful lusts. Well, I'm not youth. First of all, I know old men who have youthful lusts. So it doesn't mean that, you know, just because he said youthful doesn't mean it's just talking to youth. He said, flee those desires that are not good for you. He said, but follow righteousness. And everyone would say, oh yeah, righteous, got to be righteous. Faith. Yes, you got to believe, got to have faith. Charity, that means love. Oh, yeah, love. God is love. And then he says, peace. Peace is something that we have to choose to follow after. Peace is something that we don't just throw aside. Peace is something that we have to look for. You've got to look for peace. It doesn't just show up. It does show up. It's there, but you've got to look and follow after it. Some of the scriptures he talked about, if it's possible, live at peace with people. In Hebrews 12, he mentions about following peace. We'll just go over those real quick. So you be careful what you follow after. You need to follow after peace. You say, well, I follow Jesus. I say, well, that's good because, you know, if we look things up, God is called the God of peace, God the Father. He's the God of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, he was called the Comforter. And in John 14, right after he calls him the Comforter, he says, my peace I leave with you. All three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have to do with peace. If you're following one of them, you are following peace. Now let's turn this around the other way. If you're following peace, that must mean you're following God. If you're not following after peace, now people say, well, what do you mean peace? Like world peace, you know, peace man. No, I'm talking about peace in you, peace inside of you. There are people in turmoil because they don't know what direction to go. Who do I listen to? Where do I work? What should I do? Where should I live? All these questions start floating around people's in their minds. And if you're not careful, you'll look at things and say, well, let's see, the richest people do this, and the people who look the happiest do this, and you go by outside things. But Jesus said he left peace on the inside. On the inside, there's peace. And so if we have peace on the inside, then we are able to follow after what Jesus said. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, if you would. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. Says this. He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. He was talking about people in church just being a mess. Everyone saying something, doing stuff, saying, well, God's telling me to say this. And then he had just people just jumping up, doing all kinds of stuff. And he said, now, wait a minute. There's an orderly way to do this. He said, what you're presenting is confusion. He said, God's not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. So if it's true peace, it comes from God. Now what happens is people look at things. You know, for example, there are groups trying to get, you don't hear about it as much anymore, but it was very prevalent and still is going on over there. But Israel, they would tell them, give up your land, that will bring peace. That doesn't bring peace. Pacifying somebody who hates you doesn't bring peace because they will hate you more and figure they get away with more. You know, but you see people try to, you know, they say, well, land for peace and this. No, that's not the kind of peace that Jesus brings. He brings a peace on the inside that if everyone had that, we'd have peace on the outside. The problem is there are whole groups of people rejecting the message of the Lord. But he said this, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You know, when we're struggling to hear from God, the thoughts keep coming about, well, what was this? What was that? You know, is this what God said? Is that what God said? And I know lots of people bring up, and it's true, that you bring up from Elijah's time, Elijah heard a still small voice, and that was God. There was a storm and a fire and all kinds of things, and the still small voice was God. But the voice of the Lord is a voice of peace. And if you follow after the voice of the Lord, there is a peace to it. Now, it doesn't mean everything you do is peaceful. You can make a mistake. Say you broke something. And all of a sudden, you got to face the music. And mom's on her way to wonder why her favorite whatever is broken on the floor. Well, you can make up an excuse, the dog did it, and lie, and that will bring you temporary peace, I'll put it in quotes, because you don't have to face a problem right then. But when she finds out the dog didn't do it, and while you lie awake at night thinking about the fact that, oh, what's going to happen when she finds out that I really did it? Now I'm in trouble for lying and for breaking the thing, you know, and all this kind of stuff, you don't have real lasting peace. So just the momentary, you know, don't trade a momentary false peace for lasting peace. You know, there are momentary things you can do to get peace because, oh, well, I'm having a struggle with everything. I don't know what to do. You know, you just want to scream and yell and slam the door at somebody. And, you know, but that may bring you peace for a moment because you felt better that you just got it off your chest, but it may not have been the right thing to do in front of all the customers at work. You know, there are times where, you know, don't trade that first moment of I got to feel better, I got to get some peace here, for the lasting peace. God's not the author of confusion, He is the author of peace. When you follow the voice of the Lord, start to look and see, where is this voice leading toward peace? Maybe the first thing you're doing is not peaceful. If you've got to face a situation, sometimes that's not peaceful. But where is it taking you in the end? Where is it going to end up? You know, I've seen people, and they do something wrong, and they go off, and they continue to do something wrong and try to make more wrongs to make it right, and there's no peace for them. And no matter what they do, there's no peace because they're not getting back and hitting the actual situation and fixing it. So there is a peace that comes from God that you know you're doing the right thing. He even built in a peace disruptor so that we know, because everyone likes to be at peace. I don't know about you, but I like to sleep peacefully. I don't like to be disturbed. I like to go to sleep not worrying about things. Of course, the problem is, you know, you got stuff going on you got to deal with. But, you know, people like peace. But there's a peace disruptor that got put in there. It's called your conscience. And God did it so that He can talk to you. He kind of shakes you up a little bit and says, that's not right. That's not right. And if you've got something that's bothering you that you're on the road doing, that conscience is there to awaken you to the fact that you've got to deal with something. And so there's two kinds of not having peace. There's not having peace because things are bad around you. Then there's not having peace because you're not at peace with God. If God's talking to your heart and saying something's not right, until you deal with that, no matter where you go, you cannot get it right. Remember Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. God told him to go to Nineveh and to tell those people what was going on, that they needed to repent. And he didn't want to do it. And so he ran the other way totally. He completely ran away. And no matter where he went, he couldn't get away from God. And when the storm came up, he knew that it was him that was the problem. He couldn't get away. And so if God's dealing with you about something, and we're not, you know, I'm not saying anything specific, whatever it is, if God's dealing with you about it and you're not wanting to face it, God won't let you alone. He'll talk to you. And then there's that kind of peace. There's a difference. But once, some people are really at peace. All right. Not bored, just peace. Put it this way. But if you have a continual lack of peace in your life toward God, then there's something not right there. Got to get that fixed. Got to find out. Got to say, what is it? Why am I not? Because you can have all kinds of stuff going on around you, but if you and God are good, you're fine. But if you and God are not, there's something going on there. And you need to find out what it is with Him. So that's our little peace disruptor to get our attention so that we know. Now, some people, they burn their conscience so much that they don't pay attention anymore and go off and do what they want. But the conscience is there to help us. A couple other things that will break your peace. You know, the Bible says this. I wonder if the microphone is going to pick all that up. I'm going to put it up on the site uncut. All right. Genesis 37. People say, well, I don't have peace in my house. Stuff is going on. There's no peace in my family. What's going on with this? This is just a little thing. This might help somebody. Genesis 37. Now, Joseph's brothers were not the greatest guys. They were bad people. Some of them were really bad people. They were just not great. But Genesis 37, verse 3 says this, "Now Israel," that's Jacob, that's Joseph's father, "loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." Verse 4, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." You know that Jacob brought distress in his own house by showing favoritism to Joseph. They couldn't talk peaceably to Joseph because there was stress over this favoritism going on. And we have to be careful. Sometimes we may do things, and I'm not saying specifically in the family, whatever, could be a work situation, could be whatever, but sometimes people bring on their own distress because there's favoritism. They're not doing the right thing there. They're showing a favoritism towards somebody, and that doesn't really help them too much. And so that these people were bad guys. I realize that, but yet their father doing that caused them to not have peace with their brother. Another thing that causes and affects peace is if you're under a wicked leader. Could be your boss, could be a leader, in this case, leader of a nation. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. I'll give you the story real quick here. Ahab was a really wicked king. He got a wife named Jezebel, who was, you've probably heard, everyone's almost heard of Jezebel. She's a Jezebel. Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. But Jezebel was this bad girl, though, and she was bad. She worshipped idols. She had people killed. She was just a nasty lady. You know, she practiced witchcraft. And she was just an evil woman. And God said, Ahab and his whole family are going down. They're getting out of there. You know, and so God started removing them. He sent a guy named Jehu. And Jehu went over, and he started getting rid of these evil people. And he shows up. And the son of Jezebel's son, saw Jehu. It says in verse 22, "And it came to pass when Joram," that's Jezebel's son, "saw Jehu, that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" There was no peace. And so Jehu went and killed Joram. Then Jehu went after Jezebel, and he shows up over there, and she looks out, and she says, "Is it peace?" No, it's not peace. Peace is when there's a wicked leader, there's not peace. When there's an evil person in charge of stuff, there's not peace. And thankfully, Jehu was there to rescue Israel, and he said, "Hey, who's on my side? Throw her down." And they tossed her out the window. Boom. Down goes the wicked witch of the... What's that? I think it was the front window, because he showed up. And then they stepped on her with the horses, and that took care of that one. So, all the horses. All ends. So, wicked people in leadership. And another thing that also causes no peace is injustice and lies. It says this in Isaiah 59, verse 2. It says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And if you jump down to verse 8, he says this. He says, "The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made for them crooked paths. Whoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So it's important that, you know, if you've got something in your life, if you are doing something unjustly, if you're doing something, if you're lying, that will take away your peace. You may think that lying will get you out of something and bring you peace, but it doesn't. It takes away your peace. Let me give you two examples from the scripture of two people who followed peace. The first one didn't know how to follow peace. God put someone there for him to help him. You can turn to Genesis 41. I'll just tell you the story, and then I'll just show you a couple things of his. Genesis 41, this is about Pharaoh. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he was leader of this great nation, but he has a dream, and he has no idea what this dream means. He's minding his own business, trying to sleep at night, as others are, and he has a dream, and he dreams that there are these great-looking cows. I mean, they are great-looking cows. They make some great burgers. And all of a sudden, out of the river comes up seven sick cows, and they're scrawny, something so ugly and scrawny, he's never seen it like it. And then they go and they eat the seven healthy cows, and they still look just as sick as before. And then he has another part of the dream about wheat that does the same thing. And he's like, what is this? And he was troubled. It's interesting, he was troubled. This was a dream actually from God for him. But because he didn't know what it meant, he was troubled. He didn't even know it was from God at the moment. It says this in verse 8. And behold, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. He actually had wise men and even magicians and said, hey, what's all this mean? And they couldn't tell him. He went the wrong place looking to satisfy that troubling inside. He didn't go to God, he went to man. He went to witchcraft, the magicians. He went to everything else but the one that would help him. Thankfully, someone knew about Joseph, who was in prison, and they pulled him out of there, and they said, this guy can interpret a dream. And sure enough, Joseph was, yeah, God, he said, can interpret the dream. But this is how he said this, verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The dream from God did not bring him peace. The answer from God did. Just knowing about it, it was a warning. Warnings from God don't necessarily bring peace, but the answer of what to do brings peace. And Joseph went and said, I don't have it in me, but God does, and he is going to give you an answer of peace. And that's where we are sometimes. Don't know what it means. Sometimes we know that God's trying to tell us something even. I don't know. What is it? What is it, God? I don't understand it. Ask him for the answer of peace. Ask him for it. Say, I need this answer of peace. I need to know what this means. I need to know the answer. That's what's going to bring the peace, is the answer. The dream that was from God did not bring the peace. It brought trouble, a troubled spirit, only until he had the answer. And then after he gave the answer and told them what it meant, verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. It went from trouble to something good because a man who knew God went to God for the answer. That's where the peace comes from God. He is the author of peace, not the author of confusion. If we're feeling confused about something, then God's not in that. God is not in the confusion. Just like God was not in the turmoil that was outside of Elijah's, you know, resting place, where he was hiding in a cave, and there was a great whirlwind, and there was a fire and storm and thunders, and God was not in any of it. But there was a still small voice. And Elijah was like, ah, there's God. and he wrapped his face, and he knew God was there. And that's how it is with us. If we have got confusion, it's not from God. God has no reason to confuse us. People are like, well, God, why are you doing this to me? God is not throwing confusion at us. There are things out there where confusions, there's envying, strifes, and every evil work, those kind of things are not from God. God is the author of peace. Sometimes peace comes in the leading. We'll close with this story, Acts chapter 27. Paul was even a prisoner. He didn't have much say with the Romans at that point. They listened to him a little bit. And they're getting ready to take him in a boat at the wrong time of the year in a place that was dangerous to sail. And it says, now when much time was spent, this is Acts 27:9. Now when much time was spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading, the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. And nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Paul perceived. And then later on, verse 13, they had a nice wind came, and everything looked good. And they start to head on out to sea. And then a storm comes. That was a devilish storm. It was a horrible storm. And it caught them in it. And as the storm moved along, it kept them in it. And they circled round and round for days in a storm that Paul just perceived. He didn't have an angel visit him. God didn't break open the sky and shout down from heaven. He didn't have a vision. He didn't have a dream. He just perceived. He just sensed. I don't think this is going good. I don't think we're supposed to sail. He didn't have anything. He couldn't take the centurion anything. There was no writing. You know, God didn't give him a tablet. Nothing. He didn't have anything to take him and show him, don't go. All he had was he perceived. He sensed it. You ever get that? Where you sense, I don't think I should do that. I don't think that's a good thing. I think there's something wrong with that. I don't think I should buy that car. Something wrong with that car, but I don't know. I didn't listen to that one. I told you that story before. I bought the wrong car because it looked good. The wind was blowing softly. And we were going to set sail in the expensive-looking car that wasn't so expensive, that ended up being expensive because it always broke down. And boom, because I didn't listen to what was on the inside. There are times that we get this sense, and it's not going to rattle our cage. It's not going to shake the windows in the place. It's just a sense. Don't do that, or stop. Take a moment and pray. Just little things. You can't even put words to it sometimes other than, I know that something's not right. Why? Because God's the author of peace. And if you're starting to go down a road that's not peace, you won't have that peace. And God will warn you. God was trying to tell Paul, don't go. Now, God knew Paul couldn't control the situation, so God saved Paul's life out of that. And the ship went down. And the cargo went down, and all the money they spent went down, but Paul lived. And even the people with him, thankfully, because God was merciful. But it was a perception. He just perceived. It meant he sensed there was no peace going that way. The peace was to stay longer. Did he know what to do? No, he didn't. He didn't even have anything to tell the centurion, well, do this instead. He just knew, don't do this. And sometimes that's all you get. You may not have, and people, well, if you're not going to do that, what are you going to do? I don't know. And people will press you, and they'll try to get you to give them an answer. Well, tell us. If you heard from God, you mean God's telling you not to do that, right? Yes, I know. I don't know how to explain it, but I just sense it. I just kind of sense it's the wrong thing to do. Well, then tell us, what is the right thing? I don't know. And they look at you like you're crazy. And that's where you have to stand and go, I just know I don't have peace there. But I do have, and later on you may get peace some other way. You go, okay, this. And well, and then if you even know that, you say, well, I have peace about doing this. And they'll say, well, then how's that going to work? And what about this? And what about that? And you can go, I don't know. I just have peace that this is what I should do. And I don't know the rest of it. You just know that little bit, that that's where the peace is. And this much I know. If you look that way and that there is no peace, and you go that way and there is peace, then God is not in that, and God is in that. It's that easy. The peace. Follow after peace. It's important to have peace in our lives. It's important to have peace in the family. It's important to have peace in your personal life with God. It's important to have peace with yourself. You got to be at peace with yourself. If you're not, you got to get that right. Some people just all their life, they always run place to place because they're not at peace with themselves. I knew people, they didn't live one place more than 2 or 3 years, and then off they went again, off they went again, off they went again. And they're in their 50s and 60s, and they have no peace. You know, and some finally have settled down, thankfully, but peace. Real simply, to attain peace. Bible says this, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Got to go to God for the peace. You got to take it to Him. Let your requests be known. What is it? Why don't you have peace? What is it? What's going on? I don't know, but I know I can go to God and I can ask Him. He's where you obtain the peace. He's where peace comes from. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much. You are so good. I thank you that you have provided the peace through your Son, Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding. We know we can follow after that peace and be sure that you're in the peace, the true peace. Not a temporary peace where we're just getting out of a situation, but the true peace. The peace that leads to more peace. And I pray, Father, here for each one of us, if there's anyone here who is struggling with a decision, not sure what to do, struggling with a concern, saying, I don't know the direction to go. Father, show them the way of peace. Show them the peace. Keep them back from bad decisions. If someone's about to make a wrong decision in their life, Father, just like Paul perceived that was a way of hurt and a way of destruction and a way of loss, show them, Lord, let them perceive that's the wrong way and keep them back from making a bad decision. I pray that, Father, not just for everyone here, but for everyone as part of our church family, whatever decisions they're dealing with. And I thank you, Father, for these things in Jesus' precious name.